The LA Kings insider John Rosen joins us once again. John, welcome back to the show. How are you doing?
Very good, very good. I'm disappointed, though. I didn't get any Bone Thugs and Harmony. I didn't get any Wu-Tang to come in and preface this this conversation. So I want to hear some hip-hop next time we chat.
Hey, we'll fire it up. DJ Majot is on holidays right now. DJ's on holidays. Hernan's crushing some good tunes, though. Now, I do want to give us the update. Exactly what's the Toffoli injury?
Tyler Toffoli has a lower body injury. This is something that is almost certainly going to be keeping him out well beyond the 7 days from the date of the injury as necessitated by injured reserve. It happened early in the game against the Columbus Blue Jackets on the first leg of this marathon, 9 consecutive games away from home, which ends tonight for the Los Angeles Kings. But just based on what I've been talking with the team about and some of the cryptic comments from Daryl Sutter when he spoke about not even getting an update on him for at least another week, this is not going to be a short-term injury, you know, just in the kind of day-to-day variety, but the Kings are going to be without him for a little bit.
John, has the team said or have you heard, you know, knee, ankle, foot? What are we talking here?
I have a good sense of where exactly it is, but when you hear stuff on the record, off the record, I'm not, perhaps at liberty to divulge that type of information and then, hold on to a job in which, I have certain types of privileges in which I'm allowed to travel with a team and allowed to kind of get the type of access that not all people have. But it's an injury that I do know that the early in the Columbus game that the team had consulted with the National Hockey League about. I think that they were perhaps a little bit upset just at the nature, one of those types of altercations on the ice in which the player was injured. But it's a lower body injury, and he's not expected back in the near future.
Tonight for goaltending, we've seen Budaj go back-to-back already. Jonathan Quick's done it many times. So Daryl Sutter is one who's not afraid to buck that trend to have his goalie go back-to-back. Do you think he does that, or will Zatkov go tonight?
I'm led to believe it's probably going to be Zatkov. It's interesting you bring up, the Kings' record against the Oilers. That one loss, that regulation loss, was when the Kings decided to go with Martin Jones instead of Jonathan Quick and lost in regulation on the third to final game of the 2014-15 season, a game in which, that's not to blame anything with the goaltending. It was a game where the Kings just didn't have their legs and had no energy in that game. And the Oilers had a very, very strong game late in that regular season as well. That was the one loss. So Daryl does like to ride his goaltenders, and he'll go with the hot hand. But we also saw on the most recent trip, he went to Jeff Zatkov on the second night of a back-to-back when the team was playing in Dallas. Zatkov turned in a very strong performance. Tough for goaltenders, when a game goes into overtime, they get such, grade-A chances one after another in OT. He ended up giving up 3 goals, but had only given up 2 through 3 periods and was very good in that game. So wouldn't be surprised to see Zatkov, but as tonight's game is the second night of a back-to-back, team won't tip its hand, and we'll find out when the one goaltender leads the team onto the ice in warm-ups.
Now, the Kings did activate Braden McNabb. Any chance he plays tonight?
Yeah, I think there's a pretty good chance that he could go. Daryl Sutter had spoken earlier in the week about just wanting to get him some practice time, get him some battle element into his game. He's more or less been basically healthy, at least right before the Christmas break. Then you get the mandated 3 days off, and then they had to get him perhaps a little bit back up to speed since he had been playing before that. But he's a player that even when the team was on its most recent road trip, he started that trip back at home, was working with a speed skater, an Olympic speed skater hired by the team, Dave Cruikshank, who has also previously worked with other NHL teams and players before. And then midway through the trip, he joined the team while the team was in Detroit, had been practicing. So he had cleared all those hurdles. Right now, it just comes down to a coach's decision, but he's gone through the practices. He's taken some battle elements. It's a coach's decision, but there's a pretty good chance he could play tonight.
John, Anze Kopitar has set the bar so high throughout his National Hockey League career. He's obviously a terrific player. Looks very odd to see him with only 3 goals and 16 points through 30 games that he's played. That can be deceiving. You have eyes on him all the time. What's the story of the season so far for Kopitar?
Snakebitten. The clear A number one story is that he's just not scoring right now. He's hit about 8 or 9 posts so far in the year. And last night, He was robbed when he was unable to bury a puck on Ryan Miller on a pristine rebound, which Miller kind of bizarrely pinned to the ice with his right pad, which was one of the better kind of circus saves that we've seen from any goaltender in a Kings game this season. But he just can't buy a goal right now. And he's not even adding assists right now. He's one assist in the last 10 games. You know, I don't think there is any one certain factor that this is why this is happening right now. It's always a lot of different things. I think part of it, the team won't, share the, particulars of injury information to its, a number one star player. But of course he did miss those five games earlier in the season when he, had a upper body injury that appeared to be in the wrist, arm, upper body area when he was kind of pinned along the boards by Mark Mathot in a game in Ottawa back in the middle of November. So I think it's safe to say that this is a player that's been playing through a little bit at times in his season so far this year, but just not scoring goals right now. And the Kings need him because the offense has stagnated just a little bit right now. That being said, every other aspect of that game is there for him. He's still somebody that logs heavy, heavy minutes against the opposition's top competition. His defensive metrics, all his possession metrics, mm-hmm. are all what they have tended to be over the last several years. When we were on the most recent road trip, I wrote about it. And even though, the goals haven't been coming, and that's the most important thing, he was still a player whose defensive credentials probably even increased a little bit from his Norris campaign last year. It's very similar to what Patrice Bergeron is going through right now over in Boston. But the Kings need him. Jeff Carter has 19 goals, but when Jeff Carter doesn't score, the Kings have won, 7 wins, 13 losses, and an overtime loss in there. So, he's somebody that went with Tyler Toffoli out. Obviously, he's somebody that has to produce. And just right now at this point, those goals are not coming for him, and he's been a little bit snake bit.
Is he determined and digging in, or is he a little bit frustrated by this? Because different players react different ways. He's an elite player. What's his response been?
What he shows around us and around the media, and around those that aren't always privy to the closed doors of the team, he's concerned and he's very much aware of it. He hasn't shown any outward signs of, he's not kicking trash cans around us or anything like that. But it's something that is obviously not sitting well with him. Daryl Sutter has said as much as well. It's a player that is not happy with the current state of his offensive numbers. But you know what? He's gone through these types of stretches in his career before. He has the type of constitution. There are reasons why he was named captain of this team. So I wouldn't say it's for any lack of drive or any lack of desire or anything like that. There are just a couple of probably factors that are all adding up right now and making it a little bit tough for him to bury the puck.
Dustin Brown was off to a pretty good start for him offensively, considering where he'd been the last few years. Now he's slowed down a little bit, 15 points in 33 games. He was somebody who was obviously upset about losing the captaincy last year. I think I read your article, John, earlier, where he said, a month into the season, it was kind of a relief not having the C. How has he played the last month?
I think he's been pretty good the last month. I think this lack of goal scoring right now is just a little bit of the market correction of a raised shooting percentage that he had experienced earlier in the year. But he's been fine. He is that north-south type player. He's going to go and forecheck, make hits, and he's been effective in doing so. He's now playing alongside Kopitar and Marian Gaborik. That line, since it has been put together, really just for the first time yesterday, and in the previous game right before the break in the third period against Dallas, they've had some scoring opportunities. They haven't yet been able to bury the puck, but you know what you're going to get with Dustin Brown. He generally plays the same way every single night, and even when he's not scoring, he's still an effective defensive forward and can play in a checking role as well. All of the Kings' top players are very effective checkers, maybe with the exception of one or two players there. So he's part of the team structure and kind of part of that ability that the Kings, under Daryl Sutter, even if the goals or the pucks aren't going in every single night, they tend to give you the same performance night after night after night. You know what you're going to get with the Kings. They're able to replicate those performances. And Dustin Brown is a pretty good cog in that entire overall machine.
John, not very many times over the last decade where you looked at the standings and you saw the Edmonton Oilers above the Los Angeles Kings at any point of the season. And we've talked about at the same time, the Kings have owned the Oilers. My sense is there's a different team. The standings would suggest that as well. What's the Kings' take on this Oiler group. I mean, they're not cup contenders yet, but they're certainly a better team than what the Kings have seen in recent years.
Yeah, well coached, a little bit more mentally tough than probably in previous seasons, at a team that has, in addition to the skill and the speed that they've always seemed to have, they've added some pretty good toughness. And, you know, toughness isn't always running guys through the boards. It's not always, you know, fighting and you know, punching people in the face. It's also mental toughness of being able to withstand these types of situations like the Kings have dealt with this year, with lots of injury, of knowing when to speak up, as perhaps, if, again, to use a Kings reference, Jeff Carter did at the very beginning of this 9 consecutive game streak of road games, in which the Kings lost and allowed 6 goals to Buffalo. And Jeff Carter, after the game, called the team out. He said, "We are a fragile team right now." And the team responded very well, won the following game, and you know, really up until last night, had really strung together a pretty successful string of games on the road. So I think I look at that Edmonton team now and say that's something, the confidence is up. You know, I know earlier in the year when the Kings won back at Staples Center, it was kind of the Connor McDavid show, and there were a lot of other players that hadn't quite etched out their performances yet on the season, but I know they've clearly improved since then. So it should be an interesting one here tonight. But, you know, I look at Edmonton, the belief, the confidence, the toughness in all areas of the ice, and also, of course, some physical toughness too, when you have, obviously, you know, players like Patrick Maroon, Milan Lucic, you know, there's Zach Cassian, who've joined the team in recent years. You know, it's a difficult, much more difficult team to play against than it had been.
Well, the Oilers are definitely hard to play against. That number 97 in itself makes them extremely hard to play against. And Drew Doughty, I'm guessing, well, Drew Doughty plays half the game, for goodness sakes. You would think that he's going to face a lot of it. He's playing 27 minutes a night plus. Last night he played 29 and a half minutes. With McNabb coming in, which defenseman comes out? And do you think there's any chance Tom Gilbert draws in?
That's going to be interesting. I think the team has been pretty happy with what Matt Green has been able to do, just in mostly being in the lineup. If there's someone that's going to come out, it's usually somebody on that bottom defensive pair, and with McNabb being a left-handed defenseman, I would venture to guess that it's going to be Kevin Gravel, who's been pretty good. He was even on some power play time in last night's game as well. But he's somebody that earns, you know, among the fewest minutes out of anybody who shoots on that left side. So it's going to be interesting. I don't think we're going to see wholesale changes on the back end, especially considering the Kings haven't had a real full team practice. There was no real morning skate today ever since, you know, McNabb was just activated an hour ago. So I think they'll keep things relatively intact on the back end. Braden McNabb could step in there. But earlier in the year, McNabb had been very effective through his 9 games playing alongside Drew Doughty. That had been a pairing that had worked well last season for the Kings as well. So that's going to be interesting. Perhaps Forbert could drop down. The Forbert's been a 20-plus minute a night guy. It's been a revelation for the Kings this season. He wasn't at his best yesterday against Vancouver and has struggled with some of the faster teams a little bit in this NHL. But he's been very good so far this season. So it'll be interesting. I think once the team heads home and gets a couple more practices in, we'll get a firmer sense of where exactly the chips are going to lie on the defensive side.
John, great stuff as always. We appreciate it. We'll see you at the rink.
Jason, my pleasure. See you tonight.
John Rosen, the LA Kings insider.